8 days ago, on Sunday, there was a gathering of several hundred people here in Eau Claire, myself included. And when I went to this venue and entered the building or the room, I was handed this, a document which reveals that the event had three parts to it. Those three parts being, one, Christ's birth and fulfillment of prophecy, two, Christ's suffering and death, three, Christ's triumph over sin and death. This event did not take place in a church building, however. It took place down in the concert hall at the university. This is not a bulletin, it is a program, on the front of which are words which identify some of the music ensembles at that school, the UX Symphony Choir and the UX Symphony Orchestra. As I understand it, every semester these ensembles are required to present some type of major musical work as part of the fulfillment of the course's requirements. And this semester, the major work which they chose to present was the oratorio Messiah by George Frederick Handel. So why? Why that piece? My assumption is that it was selected because it is broadly recognized as being a choral masterpiece which contains some of the most wonderful music ever composed. At the same time, I feel quite confident in stating that the reason it was selected was not because it proclaims Jesus as the only Savior of the world. None of us can read hearts, and so I can't speak of anyone's motives with certainty, but there do exist pieces of evidence which strongly suggest that the University of Wisconsin system, at least on an official capacity, has no interest in promoting God's word. It took only a few seconds of web surfing to find this relatively recent headline: Prof to student, remove Christian references or fail. Dated June 18th this year, 2015, the article states how the student, Rachel Langberg, was threatened by University of Wisconsin anthropology and sociology professor Annette Kuhlman, who insisted that the Christian faith has no place in her classroom or on the college campus, for that matter. I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here. We know that there are Christian lights on public university campuses. For starters, some recent graduates from ILHS are enrolled there currently, and I could name a couple of confessing Christians who are presently serving on faculties of the UW system. But there are strong signals that there are increasingly bold efforts on the part of many to suppress the gospel of Christ in the public university arena. So what was going on down at the university 8 days ago, when a very powerful declaration of Christ's atoning work was intoned? As I listened to the beautiful music and heard pure scripture being sung by numerous students to the audience, I thought of what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then, Paul asks? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. While Paul was in prison for his Christian witness, there were other Christians who were out and about proclaiming the gospel of salvation. But there were also other individuals who were proclaiming Christ for an entirely different reason. Some of Paul's adversaries apparently believed that they could actually fill Paul with envy and frustration if they would go around preaching about Jesus and would gather for themselves a following while Paul was locked up over there in prison. In other words, Christ was being preached for reasons other than a sincere desire to share the saving gospel. And that wasn't an isolated instance. Though I certainly cannot say so with certainty, it seems likely that there were all sorts of reasons that all sorts of people were singing pure Bible passages 8 days ago down at the U. While one hopes that many of them were anxious to share the saving gospel, it seems likely that some were doing so simply because they enjoy great music, and others perhaps simply because they had to do so in order to fulfill the course requirements. Paul's response to mixed motivation? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul knew the power of the gospel, and he knew that the gospel's power does not rest on the strength of faith of the person proclaiming it. If the effectiveness of God's word were proportional to a person's level of understanding or presence of faith, the gospel would remain a very fluctuating and unpredictable and unreliable force. But regardless of the speaker's intellect, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Regardless of a singer's objective, God's word does not return void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent. How clever, if one can use that word, of the Holy Spirit, who gets his word out even through some who might not actually have any interest in sharing the gospel of Christ. Consider how he has used the oratorio Messiah. Over 250 years ago, he had in place a pastor who supplied a set of Bible passages to handle to set to music. And since 1742, thousands upon thousands of musicians have sung the composition over and over and over to countless listeners. Listeners who have heard the pure gospel message of Jesus. Still today, centuries later, performances are common, especially around Christmas. Every time the two-hour work is presented, pure scripture is sung. The law and the gospel are proclaimed in force. Just an evening of music? Just the fulfillment of a credit? No. Wherever and whenever God's pure word is proclaimed, the Spirit is at work. Human motives might be all over the map, but unbeknownst to some, God is getting his word out. I encourage you to spend some private devotion time looking online at the text of Messiah, marveling at the fullness of the message, and rejoicing with Paul that Christ is being preached, as is the case also with smaller musical venues. In the upcoming weeks, it's likely that you will be in a grocery store or a shopping mall somewhere and will very possibly hear over the sound system a familiar Christmas carol, some carols of which include some profoundly deep gospel content. Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. It must drive the devil crazy. All sorts of people, all sorts of businesses, all sorts of musicians sound forth Christmas carols with amazing texts, perhaps merely out of custom or habit or to revitalize a fond childhood memory, but proclaiming truth nonetheless. Yes, whether the gospel was spoken or sung out of love for Christ or for some other reason, the Apostle Paul rejoiced to know that Christ was being proclaimed. May we rejoice also this Christmas season in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit, also in some unsuspecting ways, is getting his word out and is thereby bringing joy to the world. The message of Christ's redemptive work is found in hymn 830, the first three stanzas, hymn 830. a few brief words in connection with the hymnals that you see this morning. Their presence is not a reflection of an official endorsement or adoption.